Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Paines, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you at the red carpet club partying and drinking? The USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along. And you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise. Let us drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheet's growing, we know that you're just a wolf.
All
right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator. No apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be playing a golf game. Take care of the lane, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone? With no guts, you lost our trust. You ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home. It shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up. Tell me, can you hear? We all right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The rock is soon to set sail. Vote for always, just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. A police you can stick to with work on this campaign trail. It's issue with integrity, it's just very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the Republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Yeah, that is my son and his crew, and he came up with that fine rhyming song just for my show. I love it. I said I'd play it, and now it's been played, and I'll play it for the foreseeable future. I really dig it. Yeah, I find myself singing along. Hope you did too. Anyway, today's date is July 6th, 2011. We're here in beautiful Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. And I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. We want to, there's been so much talk lately about signing statements and executive orders, and there are those who have suggested that Barack Obama forego Congress completely and just put things into law. all on his own. The irony of this is that America was founded on principles that completely abhor what Obama has been trying to do and what's been suggested that he do. And one wonders whether or not this is a turning point. We're experiencing a turning point in American history where the country is no longer free, where we don't have a representative government any longer, where we don't have the three branches of government operating equally with equal power and equal say in how the government is run and how the country is run. It's a situation where we had George Bush, who made no executive orders the previous in 8 years as president. Bill Clinton, in 8 years as president, signed one. Ronald Reagan, none. Barack Obama has yet to serve out a full term, and already he has signed four executive orders. It's being suggested that with the DREAM Act, that he completely bypass Congress and sign into law the DREAM Act. Because Congress, well, they're moving too slow, they're irrelevant. Why wait for Congress to do their job, even though we live in a democracy? And, well, all that be damned. Because we just can't wait any longer for Congress to do his job. So, according to one congressman, it's up to Obama to go ahead and enact legislation, sign into law legislation. Because even though we live in a democracy, even though we live in a country where we have three equal branches of government, well, quite frankly, that's just not enough. We're moving too far afield. American citizen in the house. Let me go ahead and play this clip here. Call in. Tell me what you think about it. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Well, of course, that clip isn't, you know, decide it's not going to work. So I guess we'll just go ahead and work around it, wait for it to come up. All right, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. And so we want to talk about the Constitution and our representative government and how well it works for us and whether or not our country is evolving into a virtual dictatorship. Obama has been pushed and prodded into signing executive orders with the DREAM Act, and now with the false interpretation of the Constitution to raise the debt limit.
Let's talk about the issues.
Well, so now we're going to go ahead. I got the clip running here. I'm already set, ready to go. We're going to play this clip for you, and I want you to kind of give me an idea of what you think about this, because is the congressman right? If Congress feels that there are more important issues to deal with right now, like the debt limit, the debt ceiling, the national debt, all the issues that we have to deal with here, in order to keep our country solvent and strong, and we have some Democrats on the other side of the aisle who say, well, we just simply cannot wait for Congress to do its business, and we need action now. Should President Obama simply sign into law the DREAM Act? Indeed, Billy. Billy writes in the chat room that a dictatorship is well on the way. Obama is being championed by Democrats to simply bypass Congress altogether. Congress is old hat. Congress is so yesterday. The Constitution is so yesterday. I mean, what is it? Why should we adhere to some old document that was created more than 200 years ago? If Obama wants to get his plan out there, if Obama wants to get his legislation out there, he's simply got to bypass the Constitution. Because clearly it's an outdated document, and it's in the way. Take a listen.
Take the executive action today. Don't wait for the Senate. Don't wait for the House. Don't wait for the Republicans and the Democrats to get together to bring justice and fairness. Sign an executive order today and stop the deportation of all young people.
What can be done in that time? What can be achieved?
The President of the United States, the Congress conferred upon him immense and broad discretionary power. Tomorrow, he should just say, I'm not going to deport another DREAM kid. He can do it. They're young. They're impatient. They're smart. They're energetic. And they're not going to allow anybody to bullshit them. And I think that sense of they're grounded. I think that's very, very important. And you know what? They're courageous, too. They've shown that.
Yeah, they're young, and they're impatient, and they're courageous. So forget about the Constitution, because we have a bunch of young, impatient, courageous folks out there who want to see the DREAM Act put into play. Now, we have a country that is on nearly total financial collapse. It's coming soon. It's not here yet, but it's coming soon if we don't do anything about it. We have a situation where we have high gas prices, high food prices, high prices everywhere. The country is imploding. And the Senate, the folks in the Senate want the DREAM Act put into play. This is top shelf for them, the DREAM Act. It's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Now, as for the debt limit, August 2nd is the deadline to raise the debt ceiling or default. But the actual do-or-die date is July 22nd, because after that, there would not be time to implement the debt ceiling raise. Red tape gets all of us in the end. Right now, there's no agreement, none. But there's the DREAM Act. Folks want that in the play. We've got to get the DREAM Act going. So, now, but on Fox News this morning, I caught a clip of Mitch McConnell saying that the Republicans would be open to a minor raise in the debt ceiling. So things could be worked out, right? That's like saying, let's plug the hole in the Titanic with chewing gum, so we have a few more seconds before we die a horrible debt-logged death. That's pretty much what that's saying. Meanwhile, we've got Ed Schultz saying that Obama should act more like a dictator. So we've got that going on. We've got the debt ceiling raise. We've got Woody Allen's lunatic self running around saying that he wishes that Obama could be a dictator for just a little while, just a few years, in order to get things done. Woody Allen is a moron of epic proportions, and a pedophile, and a loser. But, you know, well, putting all that aside, he would wish that President Obama function as a dictator for a little while. He wishes that could happen. He says that he hopes that Obama could function as a dictator for just a short while. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Sound the drum.
Sound the drum.
The drum.
Here we come. We are the new media. Freedom Alliance Media.
Freedom Alliance
Freedom
Media.
Alliance Media. Where the voice of freedom will lead you to the truth.
For great rock and great talk, go to www.freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush, then Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question in Atlas Shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? And which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless? And which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value. But you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
Indeed, it's too bad. I've been playing up Atlas Shrugged, the movie, and Ayn Rand's epic novel for the last 2 weeks because I believe that the novel speaks to the issues that are being represented here today in the United States of America. We have a situation where the government is out of control. That this president, whom we've elected, is out of control. Executive orders to bypass Congress. Executive orders to basically declare Congress null and void. There have been occasions where Obama has suggested, while a member of the Senate, and before that, that the Constitution is a flawed document. The Constitution has holes in it. The Constitution doesn't speak to the needs of the poor or the needs of the oppressed. The Constitution doesn't speak to the needs of the people. Obama has stated this time and time again, and now, here today, we see his ideology playing out. The Obama administration is seeking to circumvent the Constitution of the United States using executive orders, using signing statements. Here's the situation, folks. If this guy can do this sort of thing, if he is allowed unchecked, total power, the power of a king or a dictator, where do we stand now? What's going to happen to the United States of America if this guy's power remains unchecked? If he is not called on these things, and I mean now, and I mean hard, there's no stopping him. There's no stopping him. He'll issue signing statements. He'll issue executive orders, go around Congress, circumvent Congress, and simply put forth any legislation he deems appropriate because we're too stupid. We don't know what's best for us. And, of course, those people in the House and in the Senate who represent us, they don't know what's best for their constituents. Only our king, our emperor, our God, Obama, knows what's best for us. This guy has got to go. November of 2012, we must send a message that we don't want to live under tyranny. We don't want to live in a country where the president is no longer a representative of the people, but our dictator, our Lord, our master. Now, with much of Obama's legislative agenda stalled in Congress, Obama and his team are preparing an array of actions, a myriad, a cornucopia, a plethora, using his executive powers to advance energy, environmental, fiscal, and other domestic policy priorities. And constitutionalists, they're asking, what executive power? To make law? To make law? The role of the president under the United States Constitution is not to make laws, but simply to execute the laws passed by Congress. Congress, Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution begins, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States." If the Constitution mandates that all lawmaking powers reside in the Congress, well, then it stands to reason none is left for the president. None, mind you. The president's job is that he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. End quote. Quote, end quote. Under Article 2, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. But, hey, don't let that crazy old Constitution thing get in the way. Okay, if the president won't adhere to the Constitution, then he shouldn't be president anymore. Because it's the Constitution that put that clown in office. It's the Constitution that allowed him to run for president. It's the Constitution that governs everything. It holds this country together. It binds us all together. And if he won't adhere to the Constitution of the United States faithfully, as that clown promised to do, then he needs to go. Billy, if the Congress cedes its power, which it cannot do, then we're done. But what recourse does the Congress have? I've heard, you know, after the November elections, I was informed that the Congress controls the purse strings, that the Congress now, under a Republican administration, has the power to cut off funds for Obama's agenda, to basically stall his agenda. And that turned out certainly not to be the case. Because Congress put forth a myriad of legislative issues, and the Senate shot them all down. The Congress wasn't able to defund Obamacare, which they promised to do. The Congress wasn't able to stop funding czars, to basically cut off their paychecks, which is what we were led to believe that they would be able to do. They didn't do that. So what powers do the Congress of the United States actually have in this case? If Obama starts issuing signing statements and executive orders, what recourse do we have to stop him? What can we do? Is there anything we can do to stop I don't even know what words I want to use. What can we stop? What can we do to stop him from exerting total control over the government? Just him all by himself. Now, the Constitution's explicit prohibition on executive branch lawmaking, it hasn't stopped this guy at all. It hasn't stopped an Obama White House who is frustrated by a Congress that has neglected to pass most of the White House's legislative agenda. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't done anything. We are here's a quote from the White House. We are reviewing a list of presidential executive orders and directives to get the job done across a front of issues, end quote. What did I say earlier? George W. Bush, who was according to the left a dictator in waiting, issued not one, count them, not one executive order during his 8 years. Clinton, uber liberal, all would agree, only one executive order in 8 years. George Herbert Walker Bush, none. Obama has issued four so far, and he has more on his desk, prepared and ready to go, in order to move his legislative agenda forward. Unbridled power. That's what I was looking for. Unbridled. I'm going to quote this again for you. We're reviewing a list of presidential executive orders and directives to get the job done across a front of issues, White House Chief of Staff Ron Emanuel at the time told the New York Times. The White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer is signaling that the White House plans to ignore the constitutional process over the next year and pursue a more dictatorial course. Quote, the challenges we had to address in 2009 assured that the center of action would be in Congress, Pfeiffer told the Times. In 2010, executive actions will also play a key role in advancing the agenda. If Obama is going to overthrow the United States of America and the Constitution, why aren't more people standing up to him? Why aren't more people saying no? Why don't we see Americans standing up and saying we don't want a dictator? We don't want a dictatorship here in the United States of America. This is not what we signed on for. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, not yet. I still got a couple more points to make. Here's the issue, folks. Barack Obama, the President of the United States, is seeking to circumvent the Constitution of the United States. Does anybody care? Does anybody care? Does anybody really know what time it is? People are complacent. They don't care. That's exactly right. They are complacent and they do not care. It's like I've said all along, it's the frog in the pot of water who, instead of tossing him into a pot of boiling water, we just put him in the pot. Nice cool water. And then we turn the fire up. Slowly, ever so slowly, until the next thing you know, yep, that's right, the frog is dead. He doesn't realize it until it's too late. And we're pretty much done. So, are we going to allow the President of the United States to continue on with this program? Is this how America's going to roll from here on out, with the President of the United States and his minions dictating how our country is going to be run from here on out? I hope not. I hope not. It just seems to me like it's exactly right. Folks don't care. But I care. I know a lot of you care. We don't want this country to go down the tubes. We don't want this country to cease to exist as we know it. America's a great country. Now, Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer signaled that executive actions will be key in 2010, and they were. The six signing statements, four executive orders. What's up for this year? Clearly, the President of the United States has no issue, has no problem whatsoever None, mind you, circumventing Congress and the Constitution. There is no problem. None. So, how do we handle this situation? What is our recourse as citizens of this great country? Clearly, the administration is not afraid of the American people, not at all concerned. Now, this new extra constitutional power of creating law by imperial decree, well, it has a lot of support from leftists and, of course, the New York Times, which agreed that any president has, I'm quoting here, any president has vast authority to influence policy even without legislation through executive orders, agency rulemaking, and administrative fiat. This support contrasts greatly from the time's heavy and appropriate criticism of the Bush-era dictatorial fiats. At the time, the Times stressed that the Clinton and George Bush administrations, George W. Bush administration, set the precedents where this undefined dictatorial power was exercised, such as Mr. Bush's expansive exertions of executive authority, like the secret program of wiretapping without warrants. The White House goal, folks, is to make Congress irrelevant by circumventing the Constitution. The practical effect of this trend is that America will increasingly have an elective dictatorship if citizens don't insist upon a return to a strict adherence to the Constitution. In that regard, Rand Paul was exactly right. He was exactly right. He is right. We need to change course here, folks. And we need to do it quickly. We need to reverse the Obama agenda, and 2012 is going to be a year where it will, in my mind, make or break this once great country. Because as politicians are now voicing openly, if Obama wins re-election, then America is done. It's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for America to return to the country that we, that our founding fathers envisioned and that we once loved. Now, perhaps I'm being too harsh. To my mind, Americans love one thing more than everything. All real Americans love freedom. We are hardwired for freedom. And even clowns like Woody Allen and Ed Schultz, who have openly stated that they wish that Obama would act more like a dictator for just a little while. Once their freedoms are eroded, I wonder how they'd feel about that. When Woody Allen, who has made millions of dollars, he's a multi-millionaire, based on the free market system, based on capitalism, suggests that he would wish that the President of the United States would be provided dictatorial powers for just a few years in order to get his legislation through. Suppose Obama decides to use his dictatorial powers on Woody Allen and people like Woody Allen in the form of overt taxation. Suppose that happens. Do you think that Obama would appreciate that? That Woody Allen would appreciate that? We have a call on the line, 208. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hi, Dr. Jones. It's Karen in Idaho.
Karen, is that you?
It is.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad you called in. What do you think? Do you think that the President of the United States deserves dictatorial power over the United States of America?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
And why not?
Well, that's not what we were founded on. And I think it's interesting that Prince William and his wife are touring the U.S., and last week they were in Canada, and they were met by people who booed them and everything because people are tired of the monarchy up there. And I don't know how their reception is going to be here, but it's like they represent what Obama wants us to become. And I don't want to be ruled by the same person forever.
Yeah, but Karen, if the President of the United States is doing what's best for us, why shouldn't he rule? Why shouldn't he be allowed to rule?
To rule? I don't like
yeah,
that
to
word.
Rule. he should be allowed to rule. rule over. Like, he should have a nice fine tiara, and and one of those coats, one of those fur coat things, or what do they call that thing that the king wears?
A robe.
Yeah, that. And then he should be allowed to just tell us all what to do.
Well, it's like my friends have said, like I told my children, I'm not as dumb as you want me to be.
Yeah, yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah, I'm not as dumb as President Obama wants me to be. He wants us to be dumb, and he wants us to be like sheep so he can do with us what he wants. Like you said, I like that frog analogy.
Yeah.
I think that they've been softening it up for a long time, whoever they are.
Yeah.
As far as taking, belittling our morals and belittling our standards to the point where, good things really don't matter anymore. I think that's been going on for a long time. And,
But Karen, Obama has stated, he stated today during his Twitter event that we're entitled to our opinions, but we're not entitled to make up our own facts. So apparently he believes that his facts and our facts don't match up. Every other word that comes out of his mouth is pretty much a lie or a misrepresentation. But we know that politicians do that all the time, right? And so, but how are his, quote, facts, end quote, accurate? Most of the things that he has said has proven to be false the majority of the time. There are folks out there whose job it is to fact check everything he says when he gives a speech or a presser, and it has been concluded that 90% of the stuff that he says doesn't jive with reality. But he does that mean that he shouldn't be allowed to rule? That he shouldn't be allowed to circumvent Congress because he's the president. We hired him to do these things. He has said famously that he told us that he was going to do these things. He told us what he was going to do, and now he's doing them. So pretty much he said, don't complain.
You said that magic word, hire. We hired him. And if an employer is not happy with his employee, what does he do? Give him more power?
No. But he intends to exercise the power that he has because he is the president of the United States now. And he needs about 4.5 more years, he said, in order to get legislation through so that he can, finish the job he started. But what job is that? We're in financial upheaval here. He's at 3.5 years nearly to get this economy moving. Say that again?
Has it been that long?
It's been nearly that long.
Forever.
Yes, it has indeed. He's had all this time to get the economy moving, and yet he lies openly and says that the economy is moving forward, that they've created 2 million jobs. No, I'm sorry. They have saved or created 2 million jobs. How brilliant is that? Because there's no way to measure how many jobs you've saved. No way, not a damn quantum physicist couldn't figure that one out. How do you calculate how many jobs you've saved?
I think that's a class that you take in law school.
Yeah, right along with depends on what you mean by what the meaning of is.
Yeah.
Remember when Clinton threw that one out there during his his grilling?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
I guess
class in law school to learn how to BS.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So he's lying, and he says that he created or saved 2 million jobs with his stimulus package. It's now been proven that the stimulus has cost over $200,000 per job of the meager amount of jobs that he saved. Over $260,000 per job. And a lot of those jobs were temporary jobs, jobs that didn't last very long. Tomorrow we're going to get new unemployment figures. I suggest that the unemployment number is going to rise to 9.2%. And that our
high?
Say that again, Karen.
Is that high?
No, yeah, it is. Yeah. It, an all-time low under the Bush administration was 4.5%. Under the Obama administration, it has been 9.7, the highest. Someone correct me if I'm incorrect, because I don't have the exact facts here on the highest it's been under the Obama administration, but it has been quite high.
Yeah, in my county, it's been up to 18%. And so,
yeah.
And I heard that North Dakota is right now at 3%, so I know people that are moving to North Dakota.
Yeah.
There's so many jobs and not enough workers there.
Well, I want to go to North Dakota, too.
It's going to be a big exodus.
Yeah, better everybody will be living in Texas and North Dakota.
Bring your tent, because there's no place to live in North Dakota.
Is there?
They have job openings, but they don't have enough workers and they don't have enough housing.
Wow. That's too bad. Well, I guess I can't go there.
A man from my church just left, and he says he's going to make $30 an hour driving a delivery truck.
Is that good? Is that good over there in Oklahoma or
North Dakota?
North Dakota. Is that good over there? Is that good amount?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's like three times what he would make in our hometown. More than three times.
Well, the Obama administration is being pushed to raise the debt ceiling by executive order. The Obama administration is also being pushed to enact the DREAM Act through executive order, both bypassing Congress and the Constitution of the United States. I will submit to you, Karen, that if Barack Obama seeks to subvert the Constitution and basically make the House and the Senate null and void, then he should be impeached. He needs to go.
Didn't John Boehner issue a challenge to him a couple weeks ago, and he gave him 10 days to answer? What happened with that?
Yeah,
about Libya.
Yeah, and he didn't answer, and Boehner did nothing.
Wonderful.
Boehner did absolutely nothing, because Boehner is not a tough guy. We don't have, you know what we need in this country right now? We need Ronald Reagan, and we don't have Ronald Reagan anymore. He's dead. I know. I keep throwing it out there. He's gone. He's not coming back.
Hey, but we still have Chuck Norris and Jesse Ventura.
Yes, we do.
Run.
Yes. Jesse
Chuck
the
North
body. I have Jesse's videos up here on when he was with the WWF, as it was called, and the WWF was compromised because the World Wildlife Federation took that.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's another story for some other time. Now, my main man, Paul Ryan, called Obama out. Like over in Oklahoma or North Dakota, when the sheriff and the bad guy are standing down the road from each other, and they get and the sheriff calls him out, or the bad guy calls out the sheriff. So today,
yeah.
Paul Ryan challenges Obama to a debate and told Obama, "You pick when and where."
No teleprompter?
Oh yeah, he would need to put that teleprompter away, because I think that he would try to throw that teleprompter out there. What do you think?
Well, you know, Obama can't talk out loud without his teleprompter.
No, but Paul Ryan tweeted Obama during his tweet session earlier. He tweeted, "Fear mongering won't solve our debt crisis. Americans deserve a real debate. You pick when and where." So Obama, Paul Ryan tweeted during Obama's tweet party. Obama was having a Twitter party, and where folks could Twitter him asking him questions.
Nice.
Boehner twittered him also earlier, asking him where are the jobs. And Obama, of course, couldn't answer either of those. He didn't even answer the challenge. And now Obama's claiming that raising taxes will create jobs. And then stated, "You're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts." How does raising taxes create jobs? Do you know, Karen?
Well, it would create jobs for the tax collectors.
Yeah, it creates jobs for the IRS. It creates jobs for the government. Maybe he's on to something here.
Yeah.
Raising
taxes.
People
who have to go door-to-door to collect the taxes, yeah. They'll treat them like they do census workers.
Or, since the government is the nation's largest employer, maybe bringing in more tax revenue will increase the government's coffers so they can hire more people. Is that what he means? I think
more
that's
people to rule over us?
Yeah, to rule. Because that's what he wants to do. If he starts with these signing statements and all this stuff, he wants to rule the United States of America. He will become, for all intents and purposes, a dictator in this great country of ours. How does that happen? Now he's asked Texas and Governor Rick Perry to spare a Mexican, we'll call him an illegal from the death penalty, because by killing this man, it'll make America look bad. It's amazing. Okay, here's the deal. Texas is preparing to execute a Mexican citizen for a gruesome 1994 murder. On Thursday, tomorrow, despite an appeal by Barack Obama to spare him because he was not granted a counselor help required by international law. Dude's guilty. Humberto Leal, 38, a native of Monterrey, Mexico, was convicted of the 1994 rape and murder of Andrea Sauceda, 16, whose naked body was found with a large stick protruding from her. She had been bitten and her head crushed by a lump of asphalt. Now, since Governor Rick Perry told him to kiss off, he decided to ask the Supreme Court for a stay. So the United States Supreme Court is due to decide whether to issue a stay of execution, which Texas state lawyers insist should go ahead. If the Supreme Court does not intervene, Leal's fate will lie in the hands of Governor Rick Perry of Texas, who is currently pondering whether to join the 2012 presidential race. Texas executes more prisoners than any state in the U.S. This guy's got to go. Just like Obama has to go sometime next year, this guy has got to go also. Only he has to go by a different means. Obama needs to take that one-way ride back to Illinois or wherever he is actually from.
South Africa.
Yes, and then this guy has to fry sometime tomorrow night.
Midnight.
Yeah. And Obama wants to spare the man's life because he wasn't properly represented by some international counselor.
You know, we have to do whatever we can to avoid war with Mexico. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's spare his life so Obama can get that all-important Hispanic vote for next year, because clearly he is running scared and independents are abandoning him in droves. His base is splintered all over the place, so he's going to need some folks to kind of shore up that vote.
Yeah.
So he's picked the perfect guy. This murderous so-and-so who brutally raped and murdered a woman and stuck a stick in her and smashed her head.
A 16-year-old.
Yes, a 16-year-old.
A girl.
Yes. So I guess it's more important. Now, in all fairness, Perry has commuted the death sentence of 31 inmates. Of these, 28 involved cases in which the defendant was a juvenile at the time of the crime, and Governor Perry acted after a Supreme Court ruling on the issue. Now, polls show that 65% of Americans favor the death penalty. Mr. Perry's enthusiastic backing for the death penalty would be an issue that could harm him in the Republican primaries. It could, however, become an issue in a general election against Mr. Obama, who supports the death penalty but is much more willing to consider exclusions. Here's the thing. Rick Perry represented a viable threat to Obama if he gets in the race. What Obama has done is a classic Chicago style preemptive strike. He has put Perry on the spot with this one case. It's almost brilliant. If Perry goes ahead and executes this dude, even though dude murdered another Hispanic girl, not a woman, a girl, then Perry could conceivably be seen as executing Hispanics and not really caring about their rights. And Obama, all caring, all feeling, all forgiving, cares.
I'd like to see what he would do to the guy who raped and murdered his daughter.
Yeah.
Would he be, if he's a Hispanic, would Obama be so understanding?
Probably not. So, Obama has engaged in a classic preemptive strike. And I just thought of it too. It's actually quite brilliant. It's the best way to put a dent in Rick Perry's armor. Karen, have you always been a conservative?
Yeah.
I have not. The first time I voted, I voted for Ronald Reagan. I'm ashamed to say that I voted for Bill Clinton the first time he ran. But the
have
show
you repented?
Is. Yes, I have.
Have you repented?
I had. Okay. I had. I couldn't. I was caught up. I was mesmerized by the guy. He was so cool and so hip and so now. He was so prêt-à-porter, ready to go, ready to wear. He was the man. And
yeah.
I was caught up. Not in the substance, but in the fact that the guy was the man.
Yeah,
60 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Blue Sky, Billy, thank you for being here. American Citizen, Karen, thank you so much. I wasn't aware that the time had flown. Usually we do an hour and a half, but I can only do an hour tonight because I have a terrible cold. So I'm going to go and try to get some rest. But, hey, Karen, I hope to talk to you a little bit later off the air. Stay tuned for Conservative TNT, and then later GDT and Cool Mike. I will be wide awake tonight. I am wired. I have a whole lot of coffee in me, a whole lot of espresso. Yeah. I'll be here. Thank everybody for coming in. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy evenings to come in and listen to the show. Beach Bum, Billy, American Citizen, Blue Sky, all the guests that are in the room. And, of course, you, Karen, lovely, lovely Karen and her wonderful goats. Karen, I'm going to be leaving town for a couple of days, hanging out in Florida, but then I'll be back in D.C., and we will talk later. It's on at 3 a.m. Did 3 a.m. in the morning? Oh, my goodness. Who's going to listen to that at 3 a.m.? We're going to have a little chat. All right, everybody, have a great night. No more 10 p.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. Somebody's pulling my leg here. But we'll talk about it later. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for coming to the show. Oh, I really do appreciate all of you, really, because I know you got so many things you could be doing with your time, but you take the time to come in and at least listen for a little bit, and I so do appreciate it. Well, everybody have a wonderful night. I am going to open up my shades and my and take a look out at the Potomac. Have a great night. Love you. Thank you so much. God bless everybody, and God bless the United States of America. All right. I'm out.
Good night.